Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. If you're a huge college softball fan, you're in the right place. We can't wait to share the weekly D1 softball news, bring you interviews from all over the country, provide in-season game analysis, the top 25, and much, much more. Stick around. All right, and welcome to episode 14 of the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just had Thanksgiving. Super happy to be able to see the family and just back to work now. So just been good.
That is good. I flew solo Thanksgiving, and I just worked and watched football, which honestly was fine with me this year. I did the family phone call at the end of the day. My six-year-old nieces know way too much about quarantine. I'm very scared that they just know all this. They know more than me about, like, when you travel state to state, you have to quarantine on Aunt Riri so you can't come see us. So yeah, I just decided in order to be safe and I stayed home, but it was good. I enjoyed it and just love catching up with people that are celebrating. It was fun to give gratitude to the little things we have.
Yeah, and you're right. There's no traveling. I mean, even in counties here in LA County to Orange County, you're not supposed to travel in between counties. It's been quite the last couple of weeks here in Los Angeles, but pretty slow on the softball news. Other than St. Pete Clearwater was canceled, and then this week the next. Tournament was canceled. The Mary Nutter finally announced.
Yeah, the Mary Nutter Collegiate Classic in Cathedral City, one of the most prestigious and well-known events, you know, huge event. Not a surprise. We kind of, you know, everyone's kind of seen this coming. We think, you know, just conference play and regional play is going to be anything that's huge travel, A, because of travel, B, because of expenses right now with budgets. I think we're going to see a lot of events just have local teams. If anything, if there's any multi-team events going on by that time. So not a surprise at all, but still just have to, you know, confirm it. And that's what we saw on Monday. And it's sad, but it'll be returning. It'll come back in 2022. So there's, you know, just a kind of a hiatus is a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I was at the Mary Nutter last year, and I would probably bet that at one point there were about 8,000 fans on the main field. And, you know, I know a lot of the income for that tournament is through fan admission. So I think it was a smart move to them by them to postpone it till 2022. With that said, we've got a couple fall reports out this week. We have Tennessee. Rhi, what are you seeing out of Tennessee?
Well, that's the team in my backyard. I live about, you know, 10 minutes away. So I haven't seen anything because I followed protocol. There's nothing allowed to be seen. They did do live streaming, so I did that. But got to talk on the phone with, you know, always fun to chat with if anyone's chatted with Ralph Weekly. I want to start a podcast called Storytime with Ralph and just have him tell stories of his. The man has done everything. I mean, you know, he was telling me about Agent Orange that he got in Vietnam and just, and he has like a Santa Claus collection. And I like, it was just like the most random, lovely things with Ralph. But in terms of their team, what's really been needed would be some pitching. Is that'd be a great Christmas gift. And they've gotten some more. Ashley Rogers is back. She was injured last year. And she, you know, she's one that's actually going to probably benefit from the season being, you know, canceled because she got a chance to, she didn't get a chance to pitch. She was about to come back. So she's back and healthy. She's taking it slower. She was going to be back and probably would have rushed through it and maybe not been quite as healthy. They have Callie Turner who got experience because of that. They added a transfer that they needed. They need someone at shortstop and Ivy Davis. They're going to try Ivy there from Arizona. Ralph called Mike Candrea. Didn't need to get his blessing, but just did just to be, you know, that call, you know, just to be collegial. But, you know, Arizona was going to have some kids leave because they have such a stacked roster. So, you know, Tennessee, the thing that team just needed, they needed pitching. And it's still, you know, they have Ashley and Callie, and now it's going to be just trying to get some of those other spots filled with depth. They got a new pitching coach, Megan Rhodes Smith, who's a former Lady Vol pitcher, backed up Monica Abbott, and was coaching at Lipscomb as an assistant, and then went to Belmont. So yeah, some good stuff on that end. They, you know, it's all fall, but they like what they're seeing so far, and the pitching is going to be key for Tennessee. That's where it's all going to come down to next season, is if they can, if Ashley's healthy, they'll be in much better shape.
Great. So check out that Tennessee report. It's up on the website, d1softball.com. We have Alabama up as well, and Michigan State. So check them out on d1softball.com. And with that said, we're going to go to our first interview of the week. We are joined by Morgan Stewart. Morgan Stewart is professional coach and owner of both Defense Club and Morgan Stewart Defense Lessons, 2009 national champion at the University of Washington. She was on the All World Series team there. She's a Pac-10 champion. Yes, Pac-10 back in the day. And also played for the Filipino national team. And we're just super excited to have Morgan on with us today. She's going to talk to us a little bit about the launch of Defense Club, which launches, I think, in a few hours. We're taking this on a Wednesday. So Morgan, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I'm super excited for Defense Club to launch, as well as just be able to talk about it with some people that understand sports, understand kind of the need for this in the space.
So Morgan, talk to us a little bit about Defense Club. So how did it start? Where did the idea come about? And why are you so passionate about the mental game?
Well, honestly, this started probably 3 years ago as just an idea of, all right, I'm going to try being more vulnerable. I'm going to kind of confront the things that I think held me back as an athlete at Washington. Growing up, being a quiet kid and kind of feeling like things were holding me back. And so 3 years ago, I started ideating, brainstorming, posting on Instagram, seeing what kind of feedback I got, and just being part of the generation I'm a part of. Social media kind of fueled a lot of the train, so to speak, of how this developed. Last year, February, Defense Club launched as a brand, and being part of Package Deal, being around Jen Schroeder, brands are kind of the thing to do in that circle of friends. So, I learned from the best with, those two companies, and honestly, the idea of Defense Club is just to be there for the kids growing up in sport. It's not about creating this crazy business or trying to further my own career. It's more so about doing something that I think is needed for kids growing up in sport, and that is support of their mental and emotional game. I'm very, very well known for softball defensive drills, which I could probably do with my eyes closed and hands tied behind my back at this point. I've been doing it for 10 years, and it's not that long when compared to amazing coaches like the Weeklies and who have all the stories, but I wanted something more, and I wanted to leave something that was very lasting for the development of youth athletes.
Morgan, the mental part in all sports is such a huge part, and it's part that's getting to be more, I don't want to say recognized, but, you know, for good and bad, how good, crucial it can be and how a downfall it can be for some. What have you heard? What has kind of been the thing that you really want to, if there was a main message right now, and people obviously can, when you start it, can get more into it, but what is something in the softball space you've heard that's probably the biggest pressing issue when it comes to that mental component?
Biggest thing that I think girls will approach me with, or they'll come to, say, my weekly lessons, they'll talk to me about lacking confidence or assertiveness, and that those kind of skills to develop on the field. When I'm really listening to them and I'm listening to the people talk about this time in quarantine, I'm hearing people talk about things on social media where mental health is being just spoken about more broadly. One of the things that I approach in Defense Club is that very thin line between the mental game and mental health, and how in the mental game, it's largely based on what we tell ourselves, the stories that we are emphasizing and kind of reiterating in our actions, our thoughts, and our words to other people. So beyond routine, focal point, kind of the typical things that you might see in a book like Heads Up Baseball by Mr. Ken, who is amazing. He really focuses on in-game strategies. I'm kind of expanding into more of the mindset of what it means to want to be your best and kind of the struggles that you go through with perfectionism, with wanting to develop that confidence as yourself, in yourself as a growing human being, as well as an elite athlete.
And Morgan, talk to us about, if I'm a young softball player and I'm listening to this and I hear about Defense Club, what type of tools can they expect if they sign up for this program? What, you know, what does the program entail, and how long is it? Is there, you know, is there a monthly subscription? What are they going to see from this?
These are the biggest questions that I hope that people understand after listening to this podcast, because I think everybody's super excited about it. It's like, oh yeah, mental skills, awesome. Okay, what the heck are you going to be doing in there? So we are going to be doing basic and advanced training. So there's two membership levels. No matter what membership level you're in, you're going to have access to courses. And this was a big thing that I wanted to make available, because kids growing up in any sport, their parents are lugging them anywhere unless their state shut down because of COVID, but they're traveling a lot. They've got school, they've got Zoom calls, they've got a bunch of things. So I wanted courses to be available so they can take charge of their own training. They're also going to have live trainings or virtual calls with me every single month. The basic training is going to be one call a month. The advanced training is going to be a couple. And there's going to be a little bit more access to me in that advanced training, as well as guest speakers. Like, I don't know everything. That's the biggest thing that I want to reiterate over and over again is I'm not a therapist. This isn't like a one-on-one, let's sit down with Morgan and solve all your issues. It's nope, we're all in this together. You are not alone. And other people are struggling with it, especially the people that you see on TV or you've seen on TV that are amazing in your eyes, that are perfect, but they still have struggles as well.
That's awesome. It's such a, and you know, the vulnerability aspect is so huge right now. I think that's going to be so well received, and everyone's at different levels. It impacts everyone differently. And I think even, I mean, obviously this is softball specific, but it translates in all aspects of your life. So I think just the, what you're providing is going to be such a huge resource. It's a big buzz thing right now, but I think you've lived it, you've seen it. And the fact that you're willing to acknowledge that you don't know it all and you're going to invite people into that space makes it even more worthwhile, because there's so much to be gleaned by listening to other people's opinion, because mental is, it varies for every individual. As we know, I'm a psychology major, so I'm really geeked into this stuff. And I always want to be a sports psych. So that was kind of, I think people are going to get so much use out of this. I'm really glad you're bringing it into the softball world.
I might have to have you on as a guest. Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. I don't, like, I wish I could have, but obviously I'm not like a PhD or anything, so I don't know. But I'm more than happy to contribute any way I can. I think it's, like I said, even just writing about kids going through these struggles, it's something I hear in every sport I cover. It's amazing. And I'm just glad that it's more out in the open than it's ever been before. And there's more tools for it. And you bringing this tool is going to be such a benefit. So I encourage everyone to take part in it and to sign up.
And Morgan, you talked about having various speakers. Do you have anybody on the docket kind of teed up that you know is going to be a part of Defense Club, or who has been a part of it before? Because I know I've seen promos with some amazing stories. Is there somebody that you've come across that they've got a great story in terms of how they've overcome some sort of mental
issue? Yes. I guess I'm just drinking my own Kool-Aid over here, because I truly believe that everybody has a story, and I'm very excited for every single person that's wanted to be a part of it. I mean, we've got bigger names like Lauren Chamberlain, who wrote in one of her stories, which is really cool because you see these people in bigger spheres and you see them very successful in the softball world. And for them to look back and go, hey, this is for kids growing up, and to kind of assert themselves into the space, it's really cool. So Lauren Chamberlain, my first two guest speakers, one is a UCLA gymnast, Janae Honest. She recently graduated. I've got actually somebody who I went to high school with. She's a Muay Thai world champion, three-time world champion. Her name's Tiffany Van Soos. She's legit. People might have seen her on the Joe Rogan podcast or show. She like was made famous by kicking this palm tree over and over again. But I'm really into her, and I'm really excited to see just some different perspectives. Yes, I know that largely this is going to be followed by my softball people and people that have been following me as a defensive specialist and all that. But I really do want to bring in other sports because we can learn from all athletes, no matter what. And my hope that this is that this community is made up of more than softball players, because there's just more to life than softball, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I saw from the promos is there were just a wide variety of sports involved, whether that be football or swimming or Muay Thai or whatever it was. And this is for everybody. It's not just softball specific. And Morgan, where can people find out about this? How do they get in contact with you? What is the best way that they can learn about Defense Club?
Best way is go to defenseclub.com. I've been making changes to this website to make sure it's crystal clear, because I know that sometimes it can be very confusing what people actually get. So if they go to defenseclub.com, they go to join the club, they're going to find all the answers that they want tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I hope I'm saying that right compared to when this podcast is being aired, but Thursday morning, 9 a.m., it's going to be live. And if anybody has any questions, they can email me at morgan@defenseclub.com.
Perfect. And where can people get in contact with you? Is that the best place? On Instagram, on Facebook? Are those all those handles?
I best bet is email or Instagram. Facebook is eluding me right now. It's a different animal for me at this point. But yep, either one of those outlets is good.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Morgan. Any closing thoughts in terms of Defense Club? What are you most excited about on this journey with all these players that are going to be involved?
I'm excited for people to actually get in the course and see how hands-on it is. It's not just binge watching like Netflix and kind of having stuff thrown at your face. It's reflection. It's actually put together very thoughtfully. I'm not meaning to blow my head up or anything, but I'm very excited. I've worked really hard. And as have people that are on kind of the back end of my team. And I'm just very thankful that it's all come together.
Great. Well, Morgan, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll put in the show notes of how you can get more information on Defense Club, and can't wait to be a part of this new mental training. I think I'm going to sign up and get in on this.
Yeah, you got it. You have to be a guest speaker too, Tara. I mean, that's just got to happen.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Morgan. And you're more than welcome to come back and hang out with Rhea and I on the podcast. And maybe we can do a mental segment, a 5-minute mental segment each week. I don't know. Maybe.
Let's do it. Why not?
I'm all for that.
All right. Thanks so much, Morgan.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And we are pleased to be joined by Tennessee co-head coach Karen Weekly. Karen Weekly has been at Tennessee now for 19 seasons, coaching alongside her husband, Ralph Weekly. 1,130 career victories in her softball coaching career at the Division I level. Past president of the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association. We at D1Softball.com ran the Lady Vols fall report this week. So Karen, thank you so much for joining the D1 Softball podcast.
Well, thank you for having me on.
And again, we had the fall report. I was lucky enough to talk to you and Ralph separately and in a press conference together. We had the report up, but Why don't you tell us a little bit about the experience this fall with this team and how things were looking now that you've completed that fall workout season with all the scrimmages?
We really had a good fall, and you know, I was pleasantly surprised in light of COVID-19 and of course all the obstacles that got in our way and everybody's way beginning last March and through the summer, and not really knowing what to expect from the fall. So it was much better than I anticipated, just in terms of us being able to practice, you know, on a regular basis and really get a good fall season in. Of course, we weren't allowed to play outside competition, but looking back on it, that may have been a blessing in disguise. I think we had some of our more competitive scrimmages ever, you know, because you're playing your own team. And so even though the kids always want to play somebody else, we found some ways to really, you know, increase the level of competition and just kind of keep them fun and interesting. So things got a little bit chippy at times, and that was kind of neat to see. You know, there was a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, some trash talking, but obviously, you know, you're playing a high caliber opponent when you're playing each other. So I thought that worked out really well for us. And we weren't really too affected by COVID. So kind of kept our fingers crossed all during fall ball and ended up working out well.
You know, the big storyline last year was just kind of the pitching aspect with Ashley not being there and Callie kind of having thrown into a bigger role early. With Ashley being back now and having a new pitching coach in Megan Rhodes Smith, how is that bullpen looking and how is your pitching looking this season?
Well, we're very fortunate to have Ashley back, and ironically, she was set to make her 2020 debut the weekend everything got called off down there at Texas A&M. We were headed that way. But yeah, having her back this fall, no problems during the fall. She was out there every day. And I think, again, one of the benefits from what happened last spring was our young pitchers got a lot of time they otherwise wouldn't have gotten. So Callie Turner handled it like a champ, I thought, for a freshman. She got beat up, but she also had some pretty big wins. And the coolest thing was she never shied away from getting the ball. You know, every day she wanted the ball and she wanted to go out there and fight for her teammates. Sam Bender got quality innings. Anna Hazelwood got quality innings. And then we've added Bailey McCachran to the staff, who's really, really impressed the coaches as well as her teammates and did some really nice things in those inter-squad scrimmages. So gives us another lefty. So I think we have a pretty balanced pitching staff now with two lefties and three righties. So I'm pretty excited about our pitchers.
And kind of speaking of that, the addition of the new pitching coach, I know Megan, I remember when I first talked to you a long time ago, I asked you like to give me a person that maybe epitomized the Lady Vols the most. And this was a few years ago. And you said, you got to talk to Megan. She's one of the ones that we've, you know, that kind of everything we talk about when we want to talk about a representative of the program she embodies. Bringing her back, I mean, how has that been, and how do you expect her to be, you know, how do you benefit the team in the upcoming seasons?
Well, you nailed it right there. She embodies everything it means to be a Lady Vol, and not only has she stood in that circle in those high pressure moments, whether it's SEC play, postseason play, knowing exactly what our pitchers are feeling, but she's done it wearing the orange. So she really understands what it means to represent Tennessee and to uphold that legacy and that tradition. And I think that's one of the best things she can bring to those girls. I've always followed Megan's career since she left here. I was really excited when she decided to go into coaching. As soon as she finished her four-year degree here, she immediately went into our master's program in sports psychology. And she has a passion for that part of the game. She's built a really strong background in it. She does a lot of work with our team, collectively and individually, on the mental game, and has just brought that part of our game to a whole new level already. And started doing that in the summer before we even got back on campus. Just, you know, giving the kids some things to start focusing on and work on and elevate their mental game. So, you know, between being a Lady Vol, having that mental game background, and then really just being one of the smartest coaches I've ever been around, a real passion for learning. That's the other thing that I really like about her. She's not just a pitching coach throughout her entire career. She's always wanted to know more about hitting and defense and slapping and every part of the game in order just to become a more well-rounded coach. So a lifelong learner, somebody who you can just bounce ideas off of and just is going to continue to grow.
Now, Karen, I'm sure you've never gotten asked this question before, but in terms of coaching with a spouse, I'm sure that's the first question everyone asks you, but I know the dynamic, I mean, it changes over the years. You guys have kind of like, you know, not exchange roles, but you share off. I've seen how kind of the things work. How does that, I mean, how will things change this season in terms of roles? I mean, how do you kind of balance that between the two? Because it's got to be, you know, a 24/7, 365. I know you guys both, you know, eat, breathe and drink softball all the time. So how does that work, and how do you guys kind of divvy up the responsibilities as being co-head coaches?
Well, I think it's always worked well because our personalities are very different and our strengths and weaknesses complement each other. So the things that I really enjoy and probably have a knack for are opposite of what Ralph does. And so it's just always been a good fit in that respect. Last year, you know, we only played 23 games, but we made a change last year that might be the most obvious one to people, that Ralph was going to be in the dugout and I was going to coach third. And for years, everyone's seen Ralph coach third. Another thing that'll be different this year really doesn't have too much to do with Ralph and me as co-head coaches is with Megan here. She's going to call the pitches. And last year was the first year that I didn't call pitches in many, many years. And I just feel like the pitchers are hers, and that person needs to call the game and needs to have that relationship with the pitchers and catchers. And it was a part of the game that I had done for a long time. And I had also worked with the pitchers for many years. So I think what has worked well for me and Ralph is understanding that each other has some different strengths and weaknesses, but also being able to adapt. And you know, as time goes on, and you know, there's certain things of the game that maybe I want to learn a little bit more about or become more active in, he's willing to allow that to happen. And we just kind of can seamlessly shift into different roles. So we're still co-head coaches. You know, the kids still see us that way, but it just seems to work.
Definitely has. For you don't go that long with a marriage and a coaching, you know, if it doesn't work. One other thing, I know you being, and you're very involved in a lot of things with the conference and with, you know, national associations, but you're also part of that SEC subgroup of softball and baseball coaches. And we know everything's fluid right now, but I know you guys have met pretty regularly just discussing, you know, hypotheticals and where do we stand right now as of, you know, we're taping this on a Wednesday. It could change by, you know, 5 minutes after we get off, who knows, but where's the discussions been ranging in terms of the upcoming season and maybe what is kind of the goal for this upcoming 2021 season?
Well, discussion is the word. There's a lot of discussion and it's necessary discussion. I think sometimes people get frustrated because they want certainty. They want, you know, something, a schedule to come out, what's the SEC going to do, let's make a decision. And I think that the best approach that, you know, we have to learn from is what happened last summer going into fall sports. And I think Commissioner Sankey had it right. And a lot of people might have been frustrated then with the SEC, not making any moves too quickly. But it turned out to be the smartest approach. And the commissioner preached patience. He preached gather as much information as you can and wait as long as you can, because every day you're going to get new information. So, you know, we're sitting here now, 1st of December. This landscape will probably have changed dramatically by the 1st of January. And we'll know a whole lot more by the 1st of January. So why make a decision now if we can wait? And I think that's where, you know, we're landing as a subgroup, is we talk about a lot of different scenarios and contingency plans and, you know, conference only versus conference and non-conference, and what have other sports done? How's it worked out for the fall sports? We're keeping our eye on the winter sports to see how things are working out there. But then, you know, you've got this whole spike going on and COVID everywhere. What happens in our nation is going to happen in our sports too. We're not going to be immune from what is happening in the world at large around us. So I think waiting and continuing to have conversation, continuing to rely heavily on our medical task force and the information that they can provide us is the most important thing. Another big change that just was announced in the last 48 hours was the CDC's new recommendation on the length of time with quarantine. Well, that's a huge change for a sports team. I'm sure our football coaches would have loved to have, you know, that shorter quarantine window that affected a lot of them through contact tracing. So again, nothing has been decided. And I don't think anything will be decided in the coming days. I think we're probably looking at, you know, getting into the new year before we make any decisions to do anything different, if we even do anything different.
Yeah, I think one thing that, you know, I've learned and seen is rigidity and inflexibility will not be your friend. If that's how you are, this is a coach or as, and I know we're all, you know, routine and everything has to be routine, but just take it like minute by minute and whatever you get is gravy. I think that approach is probably the best way because there's so many variables involved with every sport right now. So well, I just feel like, yeah.
It's really hard for coaches and anybody in a leadership role because we like to be in control and we like certainty. And those two things are in short supply right now with COVID. And yeah. We just have to get comfortable in a world of uncertainty and comfortable being uncomfortable and not having control of everything at this moment. And I think time is our best friend.
Yeah, I do too. Especially like you said, there's some positives that, you know, seem promising with vaccines and things so by the time we actually softball rolls around, things could be completely different. So we just have to, I know everyone, like you said, wants to anticipate things, but it's always better just to kind of, I think it'll be beneficial just to kind of wait and let it sit for a bit. Last thing I want to get, you know, before you leave, because I've done a few stories in the past involving you. And one of my favorites, obviously, is your background in law. That was just so intriguing to me. I don't know if a lot of our listeners are aware. I know probably locally in the Knoxville area, because that story's been out there and maybe some mentions on broadcast. But you were actually a lawyer before you were a softball coach. And you kind of put that career on the back burner once you, you know, got really into the heart of your, you know, coaching career. Give us some of that inside knowledge. What was that like? What was your decision like to become a lawyer and then to fully transition out of that and stop even practicing and teaching and then fully invest in softball?
You know, it's interesting when I look back on it now, because I don't think I would have told you that I would have left the practice of law and been gone from it for this long. A lot of people get burned out quickly on practicing law. And I'm not one of those people. I really enjoyed practicing law. There are certain aspects of it that I miss to this day. I practiced law for 5 years after I got out of law school. And then a position came open at UTC in the School of Business Administration there. There was a position that was really required somebody with a law degree teaching the required legal course for all the business majors. And at the time, Ralph had just been selected as an Olympic coach. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a really cool experience that he's about to have. And he's going to go on this whole summer tour. And I'm going to be in a law office billing hours and miss out on the experience of a lifetime. So really, it was a matter of timing. That position came open. And I thought, you know, I'd always thought being a college professor might be a pretty cool job. So I'm going to apply for that. So I applied for it and I got it. Well, it worked out really well because it gave me that summer off to spend time and enjoy that experience with Ralph, which obviously I will never regret being able to do that. So that was really the motivator for my first move from traditional law practice to teaching law. And so then I did that for 6 years at UTC. And during those 6 years, just the schedule I had as a professor gave me greater flexibility than when I was practicing law to help out on the softball field. So I essentially became a volunteer assistant coach and could go to practice every day and travel with the team on the weekends and be at games. So my coaching career just kind of took off in a way, even though I was still a full-time professor. And then when Joan Cronin called us to ask us if we would come up and talk to her about this job, she made it clear that, you know, when she offered us, she said, you can't do anything with law anymore. Like, this is a full-time gig. So really Tennessee was the first time I had to make that decision to go full-fledged into coaching and really put the law aside. And it wasn't an easy decision, because as much as I love softball and I love what I'm doing right now, I remember at the time thinking, you know, I spent 3 years in law school. I'd wanted to be a lawyer since I was 10 years old. This is something I'd worked my entire life for, and I was going to walk away from it. And was I really comfortable with that? So, you know, I had to sit with that for a while, and I made the decision to do it, and I haven't regretted it. But it's not to say that I don't still, you know, love the fact that I did practice law. I taught business law, and I use the degree every day, I think. But I still miss parts of it. And, you know, who knows, someday maybe I'll use it in a more applicable way than I do now. But that's kind of how it happened. One thing led to another.
That's fascinating. I'm hoping one day there'll be enough opportunities for women in softball that you can be maybe working as an agent, you know, once you're done, kind of negotiating like contracts that have like real financial stakes in it. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. Yeah. You know, interestingly, when I got out of law school, there were two paths that I was choosing from. One was to go to work for a firm in Seattle, and the other thought I had was to go to work for the NCAA. So maybe someday I'll kind of marry the law and sports.
I think there's plenty of that would be great. Yeah. It's a fascinating, there's so much more we could talk about with that. And, but I'll let you go, because I know even in the off season, there really is no off season. I'm sure you have things to do, and maybe knowing you, probably some film to break down of, you know, 2028 opponents, knowing you. And those, I really wish to one time, if we ever get video capabilities, we can show those binders you have full of game plans that are fascinating to me. But I really appreciate you joining us. Tennessee co-head coach Karen Weekly on the D1 Softball podcast. You have an open invitation to return anytime. We're hoping to talk to you once we start, fingers crossed, on the field playing some games, and maybe even just a little bit before that, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on, and I really appreciate what you guys do for the game.
Thank you again. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.